BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country. Not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity. For business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Running a business keeps you on your toes. Wouldn't it be great if your internet connection could keep up? Introducing Business Class Fiber from Vox. It's super fast, reliable, and highly cost-effective. You get unlimited calls to all SA destinations, and it's scalable. So no matter the size of your business, you've still got room to grow. Get connected with Business Class Fiber from Vox and see what super fast internet really means. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Thank you for listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm Duncan McLeod. I'm in Illovo in Johannesburg today to talk to none other than Anthony Seif, CEO of Terrific, the company that tells you whether you're spending too much on your phone bill. Anthony, thanks for talking to Tech Central.
Thanks for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be here.
Pleasure. Tell us a bit about Terrific, first of all, Anthony, and how you guys got your start.
Thanks. Terrific's been in the cellular industry for about the past 7 years. And what we do is we help companies and individuals save money on their cell phone bills, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. When we first started, we came up with the idea of helping companies find the perfect package for each of their employees to be on. Having a look at the industry, we realized that everyone was paying a fortune when it came to the cell phone bills, and they really didn't know what package to put all their employees on. So you land up finding the wrong package for each employee. So either you got them a package that was too small and they'd go out a bundle, or you got them a package that was too big and you're paying too much for value that they just weren't using. Mm. So that's really how the business started out. We developed quite a sophisticated tariff optimization engine that has a look at each employee's specific behavior, has a look at each bit of data they use, each call that they make. And then we simulate how much their bill would come to based on all those details if they were on every combination of package and bundle and network in the industry.
Now, this must be hugely complex because the operators have got so many different packages and so many different options within those packages that this back-end system that you've developed must be pretty complex.
I'll tell you, it's complex enough that it took us over two years to get the software out.
Wow.
The industry keeps on changing and we have to keep on playing catch-up. And as you said, it's very complex. There are a fortune of different options out there. And yeah, it took us a long time to build the engine, but once we built it, we had a great product that was ready for the corporate market.
So, do the operators help you at all, or do you have to look at the newspaper ads and see what new products are being introduced, or do they come to you and say, hey, we've got this new plan, you need to put it into your system?
So it varies from operator to operator. Generally speaking, the operators aren't mad about what we're doing, trying to help their customers save money on their cell phone bills. But I think a lot of the operators realize the need for us in the industry. And they'd rather have a happy customer using Terrific than a customer looking to go somewhere else.
I was going to say this, that what you guys do must make some of these operators uncomfortable. There are perceptions in the market that certain operators are expensive. And if you're consistently telling the market that those guys are not going to give you the best value, those guys are probably not going to be very happy with you.
You know, what's very interesting is we started out thinking exactly what you said, that we thought that we'd see a huge shift in corporates moving from one operator to the next based on the deals that they could get and based on how much money they can save. The reality is that we've hardly seen that.
Okay.
What we found is that probably 80% of the corporate market, at least the corporate market that we deal with, is with Vodacom. And most of those customers are actually happy with Vodacom. Mm-hmm. What they want to do is they want to make sure that they're on the right packages and they're not going out of bundle. They have the right bundles, that they get notified the moment people do go out of bundle, and that they identify all the cost-saving opportunities, which is another big part of our offering. And we found that once all those elements have been taken care of, then they're very happy staying with their current network.
Oh, that's interesting. So it's not necessarily leading to huge churn when you do this analysis for customers, because many customers actually are happy with their network and they're just looking to optimize within that network rather than consider an alternative.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, it's good peace of mind for them to know how much they could be paying at other networks.
Yeah.
But we really haven't seen much churn. And you know, I think there's a lot of perceived complexity with moving networks. People have relationships with their account managers. And yeah, for the most part, they are quite happy on their current networks.
What sort of role does network quality play in customers' decisions? You mentioned corporates being predominantly with Vodacom. Are they sticking with Vodacom because of the quality of Vodacom's network, or are there other factors at play?
When it comes to quality of network, we say it really depends on where each employee lives, where they work, and where they commute.
Right.
What we've seen is in the main metro areas, all the networks have decent signal. When you get to the more rural areas, then Vodacom and MTN are the primary players out there. Vodacom is definitely leading the pack when it comes to perceived signal quality. There's been a lot of studies out there that show different signal quality in different areas, but in our customers' minds, Vodacom always has the best quality, and that really does dictate a lot of their policy when it comes to choosing a network operator.
We've of course seen MTN investing a lot of money in their network in the last couple of years, and we've seen some of the results of that from independent guys like Ookla and others who have said that MTN's network performance has been creeping up on Vodacom, so that's an interesting one to keep an eye on, at least.
And we really haven't had too many complaints from our MTN clients when it comes to a network signal.
Yeah.
The main complaint that we used to get from them was around customer service, but I think MTN's really invested a lot of money and a lot of effort in trying to turn the ship in that regard. And from as far as we could see, it looks like they're doing a great job there.
Well, let's delve into these operators in turn. And since we're talking about MTN, let's pick on them first. They have a new CEO, Godfrey Motsa, who says he's in for the long haul. I think they've had the problem at MTN in the last few years that they've had a very high turnover in CEOs over the last 3-4 years. I think they've had that many CEOs in that same period of time. And of course, there's a new group CEO, Rob Shooter, who appears to be bringing stability to the overall group. What do you think? I mean, they're clearly starting to up the ante in their fight with Vodacom, especially when it comes to network quality and network coverage. What do they still have to do, in your view? And perhaps allied to that, what are they still doing wrong?
So what do they still have to do? I think when it comes to the corporate side of things, we've seen some of the other operators are really ahead of the pack when it comes to providing their customers with the transparency that they need into the cellular environment. Mm-hmm. And we really would like to see MTN making some great progress to be able to help their customers through their journey and not just give them a bill at the end of the month saying this is how much you owe us. Give them some transparency throughout the month and, you know, help them notify them when they're out of bundle and where they could be saving money, what contracts to be on, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We found when it comes to customer service, as I say, a few years ago they were really behind the pack, and I think that was that led to a lot of churn on their base. It seems things are turning around, and I think with the stability that you mentioned that's hopefully coming to the operator, we're really expecting that to turn around. As I mentioned earlier, as far as we have visibility, Vodacom owns the vast majority of the corporate market in South Africa. And in my mind, it's really MTN's competition now. Mm-hmm. You know, MTN have a huge opportunity to go after that corporate market, given that their signal quality is great, given that they invested in the infrastructure, given, as you say, some of these management changes coming out. And I look forward to seeing what they have to offer in this regard and what they're going to do about it.
How easy is it to tackle that corporate market? I mean, certainly in the prepaid market, we see very high churn levels, not much customer loyalty. People will switch between networks. In fact, people often carry multiple SIMs or have dual SIM phones because they have no loyalty. They'll use whichever option is cheapest. In the corporate market, I'm imagining that there's more stickiness towards a particular brand. How difficult would it be for MTN to start to erode that corporate base that Vodacom is so strong in?
So what we always say is when it comes to choice of cellular network for consumers and for corporates, it's based on the three S's. Mm-hmm. So it's based on signal, service, and savings. So signal's number one, especially for the corporate guys out there. And we speak to IT directors day in and day out who say that if they move to an inferior network, they're going to get fired because their boss won't be able to call them, and and that's going to be the end of their career over there. So Signal is definitely the first point. And, you know, I think MTN's done a great job in there. As we mentioned, they're investing even more in the infrastructure. And in that regard, I think they just need to make the market aware of what they really have. And, you know, that will come with a great marketing campaign and with some substantial effort on their part. When it comes to service, that's also another huge area that MTN could continue improving on. Companies want to make sure that if they call their account representative or if they call a call center, that someone will answer the call, someone will help them through a problem, someone will follow up with the issue. And, you know, it's not rocket science. Mm-hmm. People just want to deal with the service provider that, you know, will help them through their problems. And, you know, unfortunately, that seems like too much to ask for in the cellular industry. But
why do the cellular operators get customer service so wrong? I mean, I see so many complaints. You go into Hello Peter or you go and look elsewhere online, and the majority, I would even wager, of complaints on those platforms are related to customer service from cellular operators.
You know what? It's a great question. I wish I had the answer. I just off the top of my head, it might be because there's a lot of complexity when it comes to cellular issues that may come up, whether it's going to be issues with the handset or with the network or with the package that people may be on. So, you know, maybe there's a lot of complexity in helping a customer through some of those journeys. But I'm really not sure. And this is a problem that's been plaguing the cellular industry for years already.
Yeah.
You'd think by now they would have got it right. And I think if an operator does really put their hats in the ring or whatever when it comes to really improving their service, then the industry's theirs for the taking.
I mean, it's something you have to get right if you want to be in this game, right?
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, consumers are frustrated about it. Unfortunately, consumers don't have much they could do about it.
Mm.
They could choose to move to another network, but, you know, it doesn't have any meaningful impact on the network one consumer at a time.
Yeah.
But when it comes to corporates could really talk with their feet, and, you know, it would be great to see some movement to an operator that offers a superior level of service.
So let's talk about... Sorry, Anthony, you were going to say...
Yeah, sorry. And the third S is savings. We find, as I mentioned earlier, that doesn't really dictate movement between the different service providers. It's definitely not top of mind when it comes to... Or not the primary focus when it comes to corporates looking at the various networks. But it is important. And what we see, interestingly enough, is that Vodacom's always the most expensive in the corporate space, in the consumer space. And because of those other two S's, because of the signal and the service, they haven't really lost much business to any of the other operators.
So they can get away with charging more because they've got those other two
factors. Exactly, and they know it. You know, and that's a big part of their advertising campaigns and their image to the market as well.
Yeah.
But we find if an operator were to, you know, get ahead of the race, and when it comes to signal, when it comes to service, and then most importantly, offer savings, then I think the market's theirs for the taking, or at least to take away some of the lion's share that Vodacom have.
I want to talk a bit about pricing when we touch on Telkom a bit later in this discussion, because they're quite an interesting one. But while we're talking about the big guys, Vodacom, I mean, what does Vodacom need to be doing in this market? Is it a case of defending the castle from attack? You're the number one player in the market. Keep doing what you're doing, do it right, perhaps keep trying to do it better, and just keep the invading hordes at bay.
Yeah, and I think they've been doing that, and they've been doing a pretty good job at that.
Mm.
They know that their pricing is a lot more expensive than their competitors, and they've been really focusing on that signal element.
Mm.
You know, so I think they need to continue banging that drum and hope that the other networks don't start catching up to them in that regard.
Well, MTN is certainly catching up on the signal one.
Mm.
Whether they're catching up yet on the customer service one isn't 100% clear, but they seem to be making progress in that regard.
Yeah, and what's important is MTN is catching up on the signal, as you say. That's what the latest results are showing. But from a customer perception point of view, especially a corporate market perception, they aren't catching up. You know, and I think that they need to really invest a lot of money making sure that the market's aware of what they have to offer in that regard.
Yeah. Okay, and I suppose these things take years. I mean,
perceptions... Yeah, and Vodacom's been at this for a long time already.
Yeah, once perceptions become entrenched, it takes a long time for consumers to say, well, actually, those guys are starting to do all right again.
Yeah.
Maybe we should consider them. So even if MTN suddenly got everything right on the customer service level, the signal was as good as Vodacom's, if not better, it might still take time before the markets starts to shift in their direction.
Yeah, and I think they could offer some other differentiated propositions to the corporate market. And I spoke about some additional tools they could help their clients with when it comes to APN management, when it comes to cellular management, when it comes to just giving their clients the transparency that they need to manage their cellular environment. You know, if they came out with a differentiated offering that none of the other service providers are offering, I think that could really help them win the competition as well.
Interesting. So let's look at the two smaller players in this market. Let's start with Cell C. They've recently been recapitalized. Blue Label Telecoms now owns 45% of the company. Until that recapitalization happened, things were looking pretty bleak for Cell C. What are your thoughts on the company? Are they successfully taking the fight to their bigger rivals? And are the plans that they're offering attractive to consumers?
What's interesting about Cell C is that they don't really feature on the radar of a lot of our clients. As I mentioned earlier, Vodacom owns most of the corporate market as far as we could see. That's followed by MTN and then Telkom and then potentially Cell C. So once again, when it comes to the corporate market, you know, I think there's a big opportunity there for Cell C to really turn things around. And I hope that we'll start seeing the impact of that with some of the changes that are coming that way in terms of the Blue Label investment and some of the other things that they're looking to do. What we've seen, though, is that they seem to be focusing more on consumer with this Cell C Black player. And, you know, I think with a lot of the integrations we'll see from Blue Label, they're definitely a more consumer-focused entity. And I think that will start impacting Cell C as well. So it will be interesting to see if they do want to target the corporate market more aggressively and what comes out from there.
Do they need to? I mean, is it a space they need to play in? Or is it all right if a mobile operator concentrates purely on the consumer space?
It's a very good question. I think they've stated their intention of targeting the corporate market. They have corporate salespeople. They have teams who are going out and doing this thing. Whether they need to or not, I suppose it depends on what their targets are and what their appetite is. The corporate market owns probably half the cellular market out there. A lot of the corporate lines have high ARPUs, have high average revenues per user. And if they do want to go after that market, then that's something that they might have to look at.
So how is Cell C doing on your 3S score?
So when it comes to signal, they've improved a lot over the past few years. A few years ago, they had this huge marketing campaign. They gained a fortune of customers, and then they disappointed every single one of them. They've invested a lot of money into their network, and I think especially off the back of some of the MVNO deals that they've put out to the market. And I think the signal is pretty decent over there. There's still a perception that they're not winning that race. Once again, you know, I think that's just a marketing challenge that they have to look at. When it comes to service, to be honest, I can't really speak about that. We don't have any corporate customers on Cell C, and I can't really comment too much on that.
What's the reason that corporates give to you for not wanting to consider Cell C?
I think it primarily comes down to signal. But you know, we also haven't seen them being overly hungry in the market. We don't speak to many customers who approached by Cell C with some amazing offers. Maybe if they put a bit more effort into that, we'd see some change over there.
Okay.
And when it comes to savings, we see Cell C as being really competitive in the cellular space. Not as competitive as Telkom, which we'll get to soon. But, you know, interestingly, we see when it comes to costs out there in the market, that it actually has the reverse trend of the market share stats that I gave earlier. So you see Telkom's always the cheapest, followed by Cell C, followed by MTN, and then Vodacom always being the most expensive.
Is that unusual, or would you find that in other markets as well?
You know, it always fascinates me because everyone complains about high data prices in South Africa, high cellular prices in South Africa. And yes, you know, Vodacom's data prices may be more expensive than data prices in other countries and maybe more expensive than what people are expecting. But Telkom, for example, has amazing data prices. So why is the market not shifting to the operators that give them better prices? I can't answer that question. You know, I think it might come down to a whole bunch of the factors that I've mentioned previously.
But could it be that consumers are being irrational?
I think that's definitely part of the reason. You know, if everyone was so interested in getting the cheapest prices and making sure that they were paying, you know, the cheapest rate per megabyte, then everyone would be a Telkom. But the facts on the ground show that that's not the case. You know, so whenever anyone complains about high data prices, I always tell them, vote with your feet. You know, if that's the case, move over to Telkom because that's where you're going to get the cheapest rate and also pretty decent signal, especially on the data network.
Yeah, provided you're in the city.
Yes.
Yeah. Outside of the cities, you're obviously roaming because Telkom roams on MTN's 2G and 3G network and Cell C does the same on Vodacom's 2G and 3G network. While I'm talking about roaming, how important do you think it is for Cell C and for Telkom to strike up roaming agreements with MTN and Vodacom for 4G as well?
Yeah, I think it's important based on the kind of markets that they're looking to target. Yeah, what we've seen historically, specifically with Cell C, is that as far as I'm concerned, they're looking to target more of the metro areas. And, you know, if that's the case, the underlying rural areas are less important to have faster 3G or 2G, 3G data coverage.
Yeah, because they're not aiming at someone in a rural town to buy their service.
Exactly.
They need the roaming for when that customer goes to that rural town.
Yeah.
And then 3G is probably enough.
Yeah, as opposed to the likes of Vodacom, who are really advertising their signal as being one of the main reasons to move to the network, and they're specifically focusing on the fact that they have the widest coverage in the whole of South Africa. Mm. So, you know, for them it's more important. For some of the smaller rivals, I'd say it's less important.
Mm.
But with that being said, yeah, I think the networks all want to move to the fastest data networks they can. You know, obviously it's a great customer value proposition, and that's how they make the most money. You know, the more data you consume, the more money they could charge you, the more bundles they could sell, et cetera, et cetera. And yeah, everyone wants to make a buck here.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And of course, we're seeing MTN already running a 5G trial. It's probably still a few years before we actually see that, you and I see that, those sort of devices in the market. But you're right, they just push on to the next big thing as quickly as they can.
And they make a fortune from it.
So let's talk about Telkom. I'm actually most excited about talking about this company because they are the fourth entrant in this market. They, of course, used to own 50% of Vodacom. Mm-hmm. They sold that, whether that was a good idea or not. I think, you know, it's open to debate. But they sold their stake in Vodacom and they decided to become the fourth mobile network in South Africa, launching ATA, which was later.
Yeah, a long time ago already.
Yeah, when was it? 2009, 2010, somewhere around there, I think.
Yeah, must have been around 2010.
Yeah. Yeah, so been in the market for a good 8 years already. They've signed up a good number of customers. I think I forget the exact numbers, but it's well into the millions and millions of customers. I think they're sitting on 2 or 3% market share, though, so it's still quite small. But they, certainly in the last few years, have become extremely aggressive with pricing.
Yeah.
And I think that started particularly with the introduction of Freemi. Which I think rocked the marketplace. I remember when we first, it's probably still the best read story on Tech Central, the story we wrote about the launch of Freemi. So there was huge, huge interest in it. But as you said, their market share, you know, customers are still largely with the big guys.
Yeah.
Talk me through Telkom and what do you think of their strategy and again, what are they doing right and what are they doing wrong?
So I take my hat off to Telkom in many regards. When they started ATA, as you say, about 7-8 years ago, they were really struggling, and they're struggling to find their market, and they're struggling to find their feet and their branding and everything. And, you know, over the past few years, they've really found their own in the market to a large degree. And we see them as being the main player in the South African telecom space who's really innovating and coming out with new offerings. Freemi is completely innovative. And what's interesting is that none of the other operators are really followed their lead. Because they know that they'll lose too much money by offering a data-centric package. So when it comes to cost, Freemi is the cheapest by far. That's the reason we've chosen that package for our KidTech product, which I'll speak about later. Mm. But, you know, you can't come close to the kind of data-centric packages that you get on Freemi. They also launched Freemi Family, which has been replicated by some of the other operators, but you know, so Telkom were the first company to offer some kind of a family plan, which is very popular overseas. And I'm not sure what the take-up of that has been, but it's great to see an operator that's really innovating and that's looking to do things different to try to get the market share.
Would you ever have expected Telkom to be the innovator in this market?
No, but I think the Telkom today isn't the Telkom that we knew from 20 years ago when you'd go to those terrible stores and you'd line up and speak to a customer service agent who didn't know what they were talking about. I went to a telecom store the other day and the store was clean and it was fresh and there were a fortune of people in the store and the lines moved quickly and I was just blown away by the telecom that we see today compared to a few years ago.
Yeah. So on your 3S scores, obviously on price, they're doing brilliantly.
Yeah.
Signal?
When it comes to Signal, I think they're pretty good. As I said, we haven't got too many corporate clients on there, so I can't speak from experience. But just anecdotally, everyone I speak to on telecom within the metro areas is pretty happy. I think their data speeds are also really incredible, which is the main metric that a lot of people are looking at these days. When it comes to service, they've also made huge strides there. Some of our corporate customers who are on telecom or have been on telecom have complained about the corporate service that they're getting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think they as we say, they've made massive strides since the telecom that we knew a few years ago. And I hope they continue making those kind of improvements. I think telecom's a huge player to watch in the industry. I'm really excited to see what they're going to continue doing. And yeah, let's watch the space.
And of course, last year they introduced Telkom Lit, which offers free streaming on top of these plans, and they've expanded that to new products as well.
Yeah, and the deals you get on that are also incredible. Yeah. You know, you get Lit for free if you have a freemium. I think it's a 2 gig contract and higher, and it allows you to stream unlimited Netflix or Showmax or YouTube. You choose which service you want to subscribe to, which is a huge value add.
Mm.
You know, you could end up paying a fortune in data costs on those services.
The question is it sustainable? Are they pricing this below a sustainable level, or do you think that what they're doing here actually makes business sense?
I think time will tell. To be honest, I often wonder how Telkom and Cell C make money off some of the offerings that they give to market. You know, especially when Cell C was offering those cashback promos a year or two ago, they were giving customers 5,000 rand for signing up on the network. You think how much profit is there per customer that they can give that out? So I think what they're really trying to do now is to capture as many clients as possible, keep them on their network for as long as possible, and you may. Maybe giving away a bit of margin upfront to get the customer, but the lifetime value of the customer is probably worthwhile to them.
So those are the big four, but we have a new player emerging in this market. Little detail at this stage, but WBS, or Wireless Business Solutions, was bought out by Multisource, which was backed by Michael Jordan and Paul Harris. And they have rebranded as Rain, and now they've hired, I think it's the former CEO of Momentum, if I'm not mistaken, as the new CEO of Rain Mobile. So they're planning to become a data-driven mobile operator in South Africa. Now, we haven't seen the plans yet, but do you have any thoughts on Rain? Do you think they're coming into a market that's already very overcrowded, or do you think there's space for a data-led operator in this market?
So what's interesting to see is how much impact they've already had on the market in terms of their fixed LTE packages that they've brought to market. So they've partnered up with all the service providers out there, and they're offering incredibly competitive prices for this LTE product, which competes to a large degree with fiber, which has really taken over South Africa. So I think they've already had a massive impact, you know, in shaking up the landscape, if nothing else. They've made allusions to the fact that they are going to launch the complete mobile operator with a data-only contract or data-focused contract. They haven't really released much details about that, but I'm personally very excited for that. We see the whole industry is moving to data-focused contracts. You know, people are making less and less voice calls and making more and more WhatsApp calls and using more data and less voice. And it would be really great to see a network deal with that in a completely innovative way. You know, let's say they turn off the voice service altogether, or they put all the voice calls over data, you know, with some kind of voice over IP technology. It would be really exciting to see what they come up with. There's been similar competitors overseas who've launched data-only networks. And yeah, I don't think any of them have become overly mainstream, you know, and I still think it is a niche audience, but you could probably make a fortune of money if you get that right. Mm.
Just before we move on, and while we're talking about voice and versus data, certainly Telkom is offering data-led propositions. Cell C probably to some extent as well. Do you think that the two big players, MTN and Vodacom, are still too married to the old concept of voice and perhaps are not focusing enough on data-led plans for consumers? Because certainly if you go to, when I look at MTN and Vodacom advertising. Maybe it's changed a bit, but certainly I still see, you know, get this many minutes with your bundle. Mm. When I'm shopping for a deal, I actually don't care about the minutes anymore. I just want data.
Yeah. I personally think that the reason they haven't adopted more data-centric packages is just because they make too much money charging the prices that they charge for data. So it's less about focusing on voice, but they know that they could give out voice very cheaply, you know, and they could say that we're giving you a fortune of minutes that people won't even use anymore. Mm. And then they charge much higher prices for data bundles or for data packages. And yeah, I think they would not at this stage offer the kind of prices that we've seen with some of their competitors when it comes to data packages. Mm. Although it would be really great if we did see that coming through.
To what extent are they able to cut their prices and to introduce these data-led offerings? I know we often talk about the spectrum crunch in South Africa. Telkom is sitting on a lot of spectrum, which I'm sure has helped it in offering these packages. They also have far fewer customers on their network, so their network is not as congested. To what extent are the big guys, do you think, constrained in actually offering much more data to their clients, or cutting prices, or just increasing the size of bundles?
You know, it's difficult for me to say. I'm no expert when it comes to the spectrum crunch out there and the spectrum crisis that everyone talks about. But what I have seen is, looking at Vodacom's results, they are making hundreds of millions of rands from data prices out there. I don't know the technical challenges.
They might be able to afford to densify their network to keep.
Yeah, exactly. You know, if you reduce your out of bundle rates even more than they've done, or if you reduce the data bundle prices, they'll make a bit less from it, but they'll be more competitive in that space. Okay. It's clear to me that just isn't a strategy that they've been trying to pursue over the past few years.
So looking at all the research that you do and the advice you offer to clients, and you've been doing this for a number of years now. What trends have you seen in that time? Who's moving? I mean, just in very broad, coarse terms, who's improving and who's getting worse?
So when it comes to the mobile operators, you know, we've seen Vodacom for the past few years has really just had the lion's share of the market, and that hasn't really changed much. Mm. We've seen over the past few years people moving in and moving out of some of the other networks. As I mentioned, we've had a few clients who tried out Telkom and, you know, just weren't happy with some of the customer service that they were getting, and they've moved out there. I think Telkom's improved a lot in that regard. So we've had one or two clients moving back, and there definitely seems to be a lot of interest in Telkom in that regard. MTN as well. We had a lot of our MTN clients who were unhappy with some of the customer support that they were getting a few years ago. It wasn't bad enough for a lot of them to move, and that's now started to improve. So we haven't really, if you look at our statistics over the past few years, we haven't seen a massive movement from one network operator to another network operator. It's been broadly quite stagnant over time.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. That was a great roundup of the mobile industry, Anthony. Let's talk a bit about this new platform, if I can call it that you've launched, KidTech. Aimed at children, it's meant to try and deal with the scourge of cyberbullying in South Africa. Firstly, how big is the problem?
So this problem of cyberbullying is massive. It's just one of the issues that we aim to address through KidTech, but cyberbullying alone affects 1 in 4 South African teenagers. With, I think it's over 87% of South African teenagers knowing someone who's been cyberbullied. I was speaking at a school this past week. I was speaking to the grade sevens in the room, and I asked them to put up their hands if they know someone who's been cyberbullied at grade seven. So that's 12, 13 years old. Every single kid in the room put up their hands. So this is a huge, huge issue in the country. Unfortunately, it has devastating effects, whether it's long-term depression or anxiety or poor self-image, or, you know, we've even seen suicides because of it. So cyberbullying is unfortunately a massive reality of being a teenager these days, and it's something that we're looking to address through our KidTech product.
So what is cyberbullying exactly? Is it someone sending you a nasty message on WhatsApp, or what is it? What shape does it typically take?
Yeah, so it's quite a broad term, but it generally refers to bullying that takes place in the digital landscape. Often it's over WhatsApp, as you mentioned, and it could be as subtle as someone being excluded from a WhatsApp group. You know, we've heard stories of a whole bunch of kids who had a WhatsApp group with all their friends, and then everyone in the group would start another group intentionally excluding one person and talk about them behind their back. You know, so that's I say subtle. Just subtle compared to some of the other cyberbullying, but even something like that has a huge effect on the victims. Some of the extreme cases we've seen are there's this platform called QMe. I don't know if you've come across it at all.
No.
So it's QOOH.me, which has become hugely popular in South African high schools. How this platform works is people sign up, they connect this QMe to their Facebook account, and they could then receive anonymous questions or get anonymous messages from all their friends on Facebook. And people sign up because they want to log onto the network, post a picture of, if it's a girl, for example, post a picture of herself in a beautiful dress with the hope that everyone's going to say anonymously how beautiful she looks and how great the dress is. The unfortunate reality is this has become a cesspool for cyberbullying. And people get messages like, that's the ugliest dress I've ever seen. And we've seen messages, if I were you, I would kill myself. Can you imagine getting a message like that as a teenager? You know, it's horrific what's going on out there. Unfortunately, it's difficult to avoid as a teenager. So yes, this QMe app, people still install it and they still use it, even though they know what it's all about. And, I really don't understand the motivation for doing that. But, platforms like WhatsApp and Facebook and Instagram, you can't avoid it altogether. And teenagers will be teenagers. Yeah, teenagers are unfortunately cruel to a large degree. We've all been through high school.
And technology has the potential to amplify that.
Yeah, definitely. And, people using these platforms think they have more anonymity, or they do have more anonymity than they do in real life. And they become more brazen behind a phone. And they say things that you wouldn't normally say to someone face to face. And then, once someone starts, it just gets worse and worse, and everyone continues to pile on, and you have that kind of network effect for targeting particular individuals.
Sure. So KidTech, what is it exactly, and how is it trying to counter this?
So we've launched this offering called KidTech, which aims to provide safe cell phones for school kids. So we've realized that kids these days want cell phones at a young age. We're talking 9, 10, 11 years old. By the time kids are 13, most more affluent kids or, families who could afford it, most kids in that demographic already have cell phones. We're told that if you don't have a cell phone by the time you reach age 12, that it's social suicide. So this is the kind of environment that their kids are growing up in these days. So they want cell phones. They need cell phones to communicate with their friends, to communicate with their parents. But if you give a cell phone to a little kid, to a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, you're opening them up to the entire internet. You're giving them access to every single website available on the internet.
Yes, and including porn.
There's a lot of good websites out there, but there are a lot of websites that I wouldn't want a 10-year-old kid accessing without the parents' permission.
Yeah.
You're also opening them up to cyberbullying that we spoke about, to cell phone addiction. You know, 1 in 2 South African kids are addicted to their phones these days. And I'm sure that stat doesn't surprise you. Most adults are addicted to their phones.
But, I'm probably one of them.
Yeah. And, it's bad enough with an adult being addicted to your phone.
Yeah.
But I think it's even worse for a child to be addicted, because they're waking up first thing in the morning, they're checking their phone. At school, they're probably checking their phones. And late at night, they're checking their phones. And that's not the kind of environment you want to raise your kids.
This sounds like me.
So you'd be surprised at how many parents are asking for KidTech phones for their husbands or their wives or whatever. So anyway, so that's a bit of background to the problem that we saw and the need in the market. So what we've come out with is this KidTech product, where we're offering a cell phone. So it's quite a cool smartphone. Looks like an iPhone. It's a Huawei P8 Lite phone. It's got all the features that kids want. And as I said, it looks really nice, which is probably the number one priority when it comes to kids getting a cell phone.
Yeah.
It also comes with a cell phone contract. So we spoke earlier about Telkom, about the competitive data rates that they offered to the market. And we're using the Telkom FreeMe 1 gig contract, which comes with a gig of data and unlimited WhatsApp. So it's got enough. You could use WhatsApp for voice calling, for video calling, for messaging, for whatever you want, and that comes included as well. So it's a perfect contract for kids. And what's most important is we're packaging the phone and the contract together with a whole bunch of pre-installed parental controls. So we have controls in place for parents to limit what websites their kids go to, what categories of websites, what apps they could use, when the kids could use their phone. Parents could track where their kids are in real time. And there's a whole bunch of cyberbullying alerts that the moment potentially dodgy keywords are mentioned on a WhatsApp conversation, for example, the parents are notified on their phones. And all of that is pre-installed.
Kids aren't going to like that.
What you'd be surprised about is, I think when you get to the older ages, teenagers in high school, they get horrified when we tell them about this phone and what it can do and the potential implications for their social life. But when you come to young kids, often kids like that sense of security and protection that they get with their parents being able to know if they've been cyberbullied.
Right.
We've had kids come to us who have been cyberbullied before and they currently have a fancy iPhone. And this one child in particular said she wants to get rid of her iPhone, go for this kid tech contract because she likes the safety and the security that it gives her.
Okay. So the software that's running on there, is it stuff that you've got developed here in-house? Is it a solution that you've sourced from somewhere?
So it's a variety of apps that are readily available. You have to pay for most of the apps, and we pay for that as part of the subscription to this KidTech contract.
Okay.
And the secret sauce that we're really offering is to pull it all together, to pre-install it, and then we give parents the phone. The kids could use the phone the moment they get it. Everything's already set up. We give parents instructions on how to download the companion apps on their phone, and then it's all ready to go.
Okay. So do people buy this through Telkom? Do they buy it directly through you?
So they buy it through us. Okay. It's available on our website. That's kidtech.co.za. It costs 249 Rand a month. For everything, for the phone, the contract, the parental controls for 24 months.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's really exciting. It's quite a change from the rest of our business, helping companies with their cell phone bills. But now we're helping parents with their kids' cell phones.
So it's kidtech.co.za if anyone wants to know any more. That's great. Yeah. And tell me, before we wrap up, Anthony, I know that at one point you were offering a free evaluation for consumers, for retail consumers on your website. Are you still offering that? Can consumers still get an analysis if they upload their phone bill?
So it's not free anymore.
Okay.
So it's only 29 Rand.
Okay.
And that's a once-off upfront fee. And I'll just tell you a bit about that for the listeners who haven't been to our website before. So basically, this is the only solution available for consumers to find the perfect cell phone package for them. If you know you're paying too much on your cell phone, or you're looking for a new contract or a new handset, you'd go into your service provider's shop and you say, what contract should I get? And firstly, it's not in their best interest to help you get the cheapest contract.
No.
And secondly, often they don't know. They don't know who you are. They don't know who you're calling, what your behavior is like. They're not really incentivized to help you. So what we've offered to the market is a website to use our tariff optimization engine to find the best package. So you choose what network you're interested in, or a whole bunch of networks. You choose what handset you want for your new contract, or you could choose SIM only. And then most importantly, you could upload your cell phone bill, or you could, we have some sliders where you could put in exactly how many minutes you use, how much data you use. And our system combines all those three aspects use that to tell you the best packages and bundles and deals available on all the different networks. We give you screens and screens of deals that you could choose from that are right for you. As I said, that costs 29 Rand. It's a once-off cost, and it is worth every cent because you're going to be saving a fortune by being on the best contract. I can promise that.
That's at the Terrific website,
isn't it? Yeah, so that's terrific.com. That's TARIFFIC.
Terrific.com. Great. Yep. Excellent. Anthony Seif is CEO of Terrific. Thank you so much for talking to Tech Central today.
Thanks for having me.